Добрый день, уважаемый Владимир Владимирович.
Mr. Putin.
Позвольте в первую очередь
Let me first of all, on behalf of our group of farmers and young farmers, thank you for supporting agricultural territories and farmers in Russia.
When
people find out that I work in the Russian Union of Agricultural Youth, they ask, "Do we have such a union?" And I say that I always respond that we do have young people who are engaged in this industry, in this area. And over the last years, the government allocated a lot of funds into the agricultural complex. We've seen a great positive dynamic. We've seen a lot of successes.
And
in many indicators, we now have progress. But despite this development, the quality of life of agricultural population of farmers is lower than that of the city population. And we know that there is a need of allocating additional funds for the development of agricultural regions. We have a program of development up to 2020. And initially there were 23 billion rubles allocated towards agricultural areas.
But there
are 16 billion rubles allocated towards infrastructure in agriculture.
Решаются вопросы продовольственной безопасности, где внедряются
современные технологии в аграрный сектор. Наши жители хотят качественного здравоохранения, культурной жизни, жилья, здравоохранения, комфортного инфраструктуры, to build roads,
and
younger people, when they become
deputies
and they become representatives, they try to find new ways to get funding, but there is never enough. And we ask you over the next 2 years to allocate the funding that was stated earlier, 23 billion rubles, and after that
even
make the funding even greater. And the other issue is about agricultural lands allocation.
Now,
now we have a system where a person who pays the most gets the most. And in this situation, it's very difficult for loan farmers to compete with agricultural holdings and larger companies.
And
there was a person who for 3 years was unable to get land for her farm because people who agreed to cooperate with her started to leave. They wanted to buy land and then sell it at a larger price. Last time you supported this initiative of creating new mechanism for allocating lands, taking into account all the risks, and after your reaction, after what you said, these people were given these lands.
And after that,
representatives of various agencies developed these initiatives, but unfortunately the Federal Anti-Monopoly Service does not wish to implement these initiatives because it says that the current mechanisms of allocating lands, buying lands, are enough. So the issue is not being resolved, and we would kindly ask you to personally resolve this issue. And finally, the issue of reforming.
The
state's veterinary service.
Now we have 90 agencies, veterinary services, which have to do with both the enforcement bodies and the civil social bodies. And unfortunately, some of them are lacking in powers in what concerns the control over the current agencies and bodies which work in that field. Each of the agency works as it wants to, creating its own framework for animal control and veterinary services. Unfortunately, that tendency shows that it's all slipping down. We see more and more infectious diseases appearing on the radar, and that, of course, affects the whole business of raising the cattle and every other kind of animal for agricultural purposes. We would like to demand some, you know, unity in decision-making, and some there should be some more unification in the work of. Probably we should create some new body embodied by the Russian Agricultural Supervisory Committee, which can work to ensure the control over the work of each and every agency in the country, because this work is not unified today. Well, I'll just cut it down to the very essence of every question you raised. Every question you raised is important. So, the growth of agricultural output. The situation has changed drastically since 2004, when we adopted the reciprocal measures to sanctions. The agriculture has started to grow in a very robust fashion. Over the last years, the growth has amounted to 14%. Last year, it was 2.4%. So you see, that is a very steady upward trend, and that is something in comparison with the year before that. And the overall growth rate is 14%. That is incredible. We are ensuring a steady supply of meat, and moreover, the grain harvest is the biggest in the history of our country. So here we face other problems. The pricing, how can we maintain the current pricing and the balance of interest between the customers and the suppliers of goods who need to get their money back, the money they invested in their production assets.
So
we are overseeing every issue. As for social development of our rural areas, starting from the year 2000, we had a program that has been receiving over 300 million rubles. That's not enough, it's never enough, because we understand that there are problems. You raised them already, and that has to do with healthcare and education and culture, just as well. Culture is also part of that problem. And the successes I mentioned to a large degree, they've been achieved by major businesses, major enterprises, but are not living by only corporations, maybe companies. We have family businesses, we have small enterprises and small farms, which also need support. And I perfectly understand that different kinds of companies, big and small ones, have different degrees of efficiency in their operation, but still, the percentage of vegetables coming from small enterprises and family businesses is also very substantial. We cannot substitute them today. It's not only about this, but still, 40 million people across Russia are in that business. That is why it needs attention. When we speak about fools and roads, we forget about the territory of our country. In some countries,
такое, что
the population is
есть и плюс, а есть от этого и минус. Также и с территорией
есть плюсы, so small that it has advantages, it has disadvantages. And the territory is also maybe an advantage, maybe a disadvantage. Just imagine a road which now connects the
европейскую часть страны,
the western part of the country and the eastern part is now connected by a road, but we didn't used to have that road at all.
В 60-е годы начали строить, бросили, так и
in the 60s they started to construct it and but they abandoned the project and only in 2010 we finished it off, or maybe it was 2011, I don't remember.
Есть и преимущества в такой,
but still such a territory has its own advantages.
Все это мы должны думать о том, как развивать ситуацию, как развивать эту территорию.
That is why we are working thoroughly on infrastructure, constructing roads, and it's good to see people being willing to take part in that. Healthcare, another issue we pay special attention to, was the settlements of less than 2,000 people. Small villages should have federal centers for healthcare. If settlement is less than of 100 people, then we should install mobile first aid and healthcare aid.
КАМАЗ нам поможет, да, хорошие техники.
Facilities, for instance, we have the КАМАЗ trucks. It's good when they win in the Dakar rally, but it also would be good for them to help us out in that field, because they can be a very good basis for ambulances, field in-field ambulances for remote areas of our country. These things, we will be working on them, but very smoothly and with caution. I'll explain you why. You say, we ask to increase the finance by several folds. We'd like to do that, but
I've
never been doing that myself, and I urge you to be more cautious about that. You should never promise something you cannot keep when you are meeting with people, especially when you do not understand at all how to deliver on that kind of promise. We should be responsible about our promises. People everything, and they will remember your lies and deceit. They will never forget it and will never let this go. If we can do something, we should do it. We should promise that. And the rural development is one of the fields, one of the areas which certainly deserve utmost attention of the government. So the program you mentioned, you said the program for let me think, the program for the support of the land distribution according to the competition and bid basis. Well, anti-monopoly service, they can be against it, and I don't know why. I will peer into that, but there is no one example. When we have big cities and when people buy for some cheap values the lands around the city, then they transfer these lands into different categories, which enables them to construct housing on that land, and they sell it at very very high rate. They become very expensive because they are fit for housing construction. But those people who are truly into the agricultural matters, they need support, that's for sure. We have problems, such problem is when people don't have the atmosphere, business atmosphere and attitude secured for them to do the agricultural business. There is another problem, another side to it. I hear a lot from people who have nothing to do with agriculture. They buy lands and do not use that land afterwards. Oh, means that we need to come to a conclusion on what to do with these lands which are not being used. And I think that in the upcoming future, very soon, we will make a decision on that. As for the veterinary services, I completely agree with you. The situation we have today is urgent. It demands critical reforms. What we see is not up to the requirements of today. It is detrimental to the agriculture, to every aspect of it. And it's also bad for the people. We will work on it, I promise. Thank you. Putin, we know that you are limited in time, but still I'm receiving more and more notes on things people would like to share with you. Mr. Guberniev, he is a commentator, sporting commentator, and Mr. Ashmanov, he is a businessman. They also have something to share with you.
Today,
well, now you're ready to fire it up, right? Thank you, friends. So, I think we all understand that the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games is of incredible concern these days. Lack of action over the last years, we've been losing time and opportunities to cooperate and ask questions about things we are seeing today, and that is, of course, the matter of the clear sport of Russia. But you should understand, when my friends, when our role figures started to be deprived of medals, they started to be banned for life, my heart stopped pounding. But when Mr. Anand and Ustyugov and Mr. Shapulin were left outside of the family of the Olympic sportsmen this year. I died that moment. I am devoted to the sports and I am a true loyal subject of my country. How can we build our relations with the International Olympic Committee today? And should we do that at all? And there is an important part to it. How can we support those who are going to compete at the Olympic Games and Paralympic Games, I hope, and those who are not going there? How can we support clear and frank and sincere athletes who've been deprived of their dreams, and not only I was left off the board, but millions of people, and you including. Thank you. It is clear for everyone that sport today and sport achievements in any country help you to tie together the people, the nation, make people proud of the achievements of their country, their compatriots, unite people in front of the common challenges. Sporting achievements help countries, multinational, multi-ethnic countries, to be more united. And some people may be disliking this. This is one other line of attack on Russia. Let's recall what was happening when we were preparing for the Sochi Olympic Games back in 2014. Let's recall it. Just try to recall the news and everything. Many things were said back then. Now we just don't remember it because a human mind always leaves all the bad things behind. Probably it's for the good. But let's still recall those times. We've heard a lot of accusations. They would not be prepared. Russia would fail. There would be no security ensured. Everything would be awful. But when the Olympic Games started, when it all kicked off, those who were saying these bad things, they were shocked. They saw for themselves that we did that. We did it successfully. Some said that it was one of the best Olympic Games. We have nothing to regret because we obtained another infrastructurally developed region in our Russia thanks to these Olympic Games back in the south, which is now an all-year resort for every kind of sport and recreation. Now, as you know, there is a National Syrian Dialogue Congress and other events also take place in Sochi. There is a huge educational center for our talented youth. So the city is living a new life. The whole region is living a new life today. And that's great that we've had that Olympic competition back then. Just recently, they've raised some meldonium issue. But why? Because it was invented back in the Soviet Union in Latvia, if I'm not mistaken. It was used by Soviet athletes, by the Russian athletes, and athletes from the former Soviet republics and the West athletes never used it. Never, ever, anyone considered it to be a doping substance. It doesn't give you any competitive edge. It just helps you to recover, your heart after competition. But they said that is doping today. Now, they took the Mr. Rodchenkov and they grabbed it and took it to the United States. That person, he has problems. He's at odds with the law. He's saying it himself. He was doing some unlawful things. He should be jailed for that. But instead, he was put atop the Russian anti-doping agency. Then he tried to commit suicide, and I wish him good health, but that just makes some certain, makes you think of some certain diagnosis which might be true when it comes to that person. Can we trust him at all? Can he be trusted? Moreover, so they say he works under the guidance of the U.S. intelligence. It's good, they say. For whom is it good? He works under the control of the U.S. intel agencies. That's not good, not good for us, not good for anyone. But that's fine. Further on, you mentioned some of the athletes which are not being accused of doping, but they've been banned from the competitions because of some other reasons, as they say, a complex variety of other reasons which they do not want to disclose. What reasons they mean? Some intel agencies doing that? Sports, like just arts, should be open, transparent. Everything should be transparent, crystal clear and clear-cut. Otherwise, we'll see distrust towards every decision made in that field. That is regretful, disheartening. We should not make the international sporting movement, the Olympic movement, a backyard of some dirty political kitchen. Should we work with the international organization? Yes, we should, and we will do that. First, let's say that up front, we gave them the reason to doubt. We are to be blamed for making them doubt us. We had the doping cases, yes, that's true. The whole country should know, you should know, that we have cases of doping across the world, but they are not being promoted towards the international informational arena. Performance-enhancing drugs intake, which is not banned when it comes to people who have the necessary medical instructions. What's that? We can give our sportsman necessary instructions. Leo Bakeri is smiling over there. He can create one of that instruction, medical instruction, so that our sportsman, our athletes would be able to take those drugs because they would have some certain medical conditions, as they say, abroad, when making it possible for their athletes to take the drug-enhancing drugs. Sport is not a battlefield for politicians. Should we work with international organizations? Yes, we should, again. And it's difficult. The situation is difficult for them, too. They have their own problems, but some organizations are very much positive about our country, about the international sporting movement, and I hope that this page will be turned over in the immediate future. And I encourage our sportsmen, our athletes, to follow every rule of the International Olympic Committee, every rule they set for our athletes for the upcoming Olympic Games. We will support each and everyone in terms of financing, in terms of the moral support, even those who are banned from these competitions. I hope that their personal and professional careers would not suffer. Our duty is to support them in every way we can.
Vladimir Vladimirovich,
Mr. Putin, I'm right here.
Вопрос на связанную тему.
The question has something to do with the previous one. The Kremlin report was published today. It has nothing to do with sanctions. It not goes together with sanctions, but still, it's made on the basis of the act against the enemies of USA. It means that these people who are on the list, they are enemies of the United States. But it's unprecedented. It includes everyone on the administration of the president, government of Russia, head of the parliament, state corporations, and heads of major businesses, even the IT sphere. Mr. Kaspersky, Mr. Wallace, they are on that list. That's incredible. Unprecedented because they say that these people are the enemies of the United States, the whole government, except for you. Probably they are just not allowed to make you an enemy of their country. Well, maybe I should hold the grudge. Maybe I should find that offensive.
Let's say
I have a feeling that they had a half a year to compile the document, but judging by the words and the wording, it seems as if a student was working on it, a student who was copying words from Russian websites, like all the things relating to the positions and everything, just poorly translated into English and also taken from the Forbes websites and magazines. And they say these people are the enemies of the USA. So first question, what are we going to do about that? How do we respond? We, the surrogates, need to know that. And the second thing, some on the list this morning when reading that could, you know, cough, drinking their coffee, especially if they were in London or California at that very moment. But among the surrogates, I've heard one discussion. How can we be on that list? How can we be distinguished by that list? Maybe you can suggest a way to do that.
Well,
as for the people in California or in London, reading about this, as they say in Russia, you should do everything at home. Don't go to California. Stay in Russia. Well, now, I haven't seen the document itself. I haven't seen the list, any addendums to the list, any secret addendums, as they say. Yesterday, in the morning today, my colleagues informed me of the list. I haven't looked at the list itself. What can I say about this on the whole, in general, on this issue? First of all, we need to think about ourselves, our own interests, about our own economy, our agriculture. We need to promote and help our export, our healthcare, our education. And only then, and when we also improve the defense industry of our country, only then we
formulate какие-то списки.
They will see that there's no need to have any lists,
and
there is no need to threaten us, to try to prevent us from developing. This is something that we should engage in.
We
need to pay no heed, pay no attention to what they say. We need to act, and we need to move forward. Now, as for the list itself,
you see,
all the president's administration, all the government, all of the business, behind every agency, behind every industry, there are Russian people, there are ordinary Russian citizens, there are labor collectives, industry collectives.
And
basically, they included all of us, all of the 146 million of us, into some list. What's the point? What was the point of doing that? I don't know that. Certainly, it was not a friendly act. It exacerbates the relations between U.S. and Russia, which were already at a low point, and it also damages the international system. And those who engage in this,
они занимаются в основном-то внутренней своей политикой. Они атакуют избранного президента.
They are basically engaged in their own domestic policies. They are trying to attack their own president.
Он даже не мог воспользоваться служебным самолетом, чтобы полететь в Швейцарию на международные мероприятия.
he wasn't even able to go to Switzerland to attend an international event. They are arguing with him with regards to healthcare and the economy and the alleged attempts by Russia to interfere in U.S. elections. And at the same time, listen just how foolish it sounds.
And they
place Russia on the same list with North Korea and Iran. And at the same time, they ask us to participate in resolving the North Korean nuclear crisis
and
thinking about what can we do with regards to Iran. What is this?
This is ludicrous.
We need to think what we should do about the strategic arms reduction treaty. Should we fight terrorists? Should we fight terrorism together? As you know, the U.S., and I've said this publicly, and I've called Mr. Trump personally, told him that they provided us information about a terrorist act in St. Petersburg that we were able to prevent thanks to the U.S., and we also share our intelligence information with the U.S., and just recently U.S. intelligence shared this information with us, and we share information with them.
And
there was an explosion at the Boston Marathon years ago,
and
they weren't able to prevent that because they didn't cooperate with us. Do they want to cooperate with us? We believe that everyone is interested in this cooperation. We were expecting the list, and we were ready to respond. We were ready to respond with such measures that would put our relations to an even greater low, but we would refrain. We'd like to refrain from taking active measures right now against the U.S. But we will see what will be happening in the future, because we've heard about some secret list, about some other list containing other names. And we need to look into it and see what is happening, what is going to happen. We're not interested in stopping our relations with the U.S. We're interested in promoting and developing our relations with the U.S. And I'm convinced that the American people and the Russian people are both interested in that. And people of the world on the whole would be happy to see two nuclear superpowers building relations based on trust. But everyone needs to realize that we cannot expect
to retreat,
because after we dealt with the terrorists in Northern Caucasus
and
when some rights activists started protecting some Al-Qaeda militants,
and моего советника, который возглавляет
a person who advises me, who leads the Russian Council, Russian Human Rights Council, he was also added to the list. So do these people, do the U.S. want to fight for human rights, or do they not want to do that? Another person on the list is an administration official
who
is responsible for the children's policies, for the youth policies. So do they not want our country to develop in these areas? What do they want? We know what we want. We want to develop long-term, stable relations based on international law. What we cannot allow things to happen like in South Ossetia in 2008,
не понять, кто он, то ли украинец,
when there was one person, one individual, we don't know whether he's Ukrainian or Georgian right now, when, you know who I'm talking about, he attacked our peacekeeping troops and killed our people. Are we going to just retreat? Are we going to just accept that? Do they think that we are not going to act, that we are going to just look at what's happening?
Воспользовались недовольством народа, бывшим руководством и положением дел в
Украине.
Поддержали госпереворот.
They supported the coup that happened in Ukraine.
Все знают.
It's a clear fact. Everybody knows that the West supported this coup.
Донбассу не понравилось. Крым
ушел. The Donbass didn't like that. Crimea left Ukraine and joined us. Of course, we supported the Crimeans' decision to return to Russia. What did the West want to achieve with that?
Но мы не собираемся лезть на рожон, обострять.
But we are not going to exacerbate the situation any further. We are going to be patient in building our relations, and we're going to do as much as our counterparts, as our American counterparts, are ready to do and are willing to do. Colleagues, I would like us to get back to the agenda. Mr. Bocharov, first deputy of the Russian Social Chamber.
Yes,
we just came to the issue of patriotic education after the last question. First of all, let me thank you, Mr. Putin, for the trust, for your trust towards our organization.
And
it's not my first year in this field, and I have been educating the youth with the help of our veteran organizations. And I had a lot of veteran organizations in Russia, and I would like to tell you that these organizations are performing to the max, and they are doing everything that they can on the regional and the federal level. I would like you to remind you the words that you said in 2012. In order to build a healthy society and successful society, you have to have a basis, a strong basis. And patriotism is such basis. Yes, patriotism is love towards one's homeland. But you cannot make or force someone to love their homeland, because this love towards one's home is based on the knowledge and of your ancestors, of your language, of your history, and love towards them. It is based on the heroes of the past, on previous generations' achievements. And our experience shows, unfortunately, that even though we have a strategy of education up to 2020, and we have a national patriotic education program and other programs and initiatives, our youth, our children lack the knowledge and lack education in these areas. So our veteran organizations are the link between the government agencies and the population and the youth. Today you spoke that in international competitions, including in some professional competitions, we've had a lot of success. But, okay, there was one time that our specialist, some talent from Russia, was mentioned in the news, who participated somewhere abroad, but this was just one person, and this nobody knows about him. But the basis of all the achievements of any government, of any country, is its people. And one of the issues that we've discussed on our platform is to have some kind of a government program, some government procurement program almost, that would promote the opportunities of the youth to get to know more about their country, to learn new professions, new skills, to improve their knowledge, overall knowledge of our country. The other thing I wanted to say is that, well, we've heard today movie makers who made Moving Upwards and other Russian movies spoke here today. These movies, these recent movies, had millions watch them because these movies are about our sports achievements, achievements of our athletes, but we have achievements in other areas. Laborers, scientists, talents in other areas. We don't have to make films and movies about this. We can even make documentaries about this. But there has to be a government initiative. There has to be something that the government does to fund this, finance this. So, when I think about these programs, I always think about the results that we want to see. And I use the term government procurement plan for each citizen. And what I mean is, what can the government do for each citizen to become a good citizen? And you already spoke about the disarray in our education institutions, especially with regards to some criminal activities. Well, are the activities of young people something that the government should be concerned about? In our youth, we had cultural centers, centers for youth activities, and some of them still exist. I have been in a number of regions in Russia, and I've seen some young seamen organizations who had their own fleets, but now they have none of that. And our veteran movement, a senior citizen, a veteran, is not a person who is no longer valuable to society. No, this is a person who has experience. And a person, first and foremost, is his spiritual self, not just his position in society. So our veteran organizations can work with the population. There are a lot of veteran organizations in Moscow, for example, who exist in very drastic conditions. They have very small rooms. You cannot hold any meetings there. We cannot hold any meetings with the youth, telling them our stories, telling them about us. So what I would like to ask you is to support these veteran organizations on the government level. And another thing, we have agencies and organizations that were created at the initiative of the Federal Center, these military patriotic organizations and centers in the regions, which are financed through regional budgets. And the main goal of having these organizations is working with the youth to educate them in a patriotic way. So I have been to some of these centers, but the heads of the regions do not believe that these centers are relevant in any way. They financing is just not point one of the budget. And I tell them, why won't you analyze the efficiency of these centers? And I believe that these centers have a right to exist. So we could talk a lot when speaking about patriotic education.
this is not something, the results of the work of these centers is not something that could be expressed in numbers. But the way we educate our youth will reflect on our industry, on our culture, on our future. So I will talk about all of the other proposals in my other document. Yes, thank you. Well, there is a lot of attention now paid to patriotism and patriotic education, and there have always been people who say that patriotism is a place for scoundrels. It is something that bad people try to do to influence other people. And this is not something I believe. If someone abuses the notion of patriotism, and everything connected to it, to solve his own problems and pursue his own interests, then, well, this is a problem. But on the whole, in general, patriotism is love towards your homeland. It is not something that can be bought or given somebody as a present. You cannot force someone to love your land, to love your country. But what we can do is create conditions for a young mind, a young person to treasure, to understand and treasure his land, his country, to treasure what he received from his parents, from his grandparents, and his grand-grandparents before them. This is something that finds place in our soul, in our heart. This is something without which a person simply cannot exist if he wants to be an actual person. Without this, he has no grounding. He's no one, basically. You know, they brought to me some documents from the old archives.
Принесли архивный материал про одного из моих
documents telling about my ancestor
и был представлен
to my
Георгиевскому кресту к одному из первых.
And
he received an award. Сейчас вспоминаю, что было написано в сопроводительном письме.
And I remember what was written in the letter,
который направил приказ соответствующие войска.
Adjutant who led the troops ahead, and it read, your troops have the honor to cross the Dunai River and attack the Danube River and attack the enemy. You have the honor to cross the Danube River and enter enemy territory. When you read documents like that, this is something you remember for your entire life.
And
we need to use all of the opportunities for younger people to find out about this, to know about this, and this is an area where our veterans can help. They are the best option here, the best people who can help young people to know about their history, and this will help our young people to look into the future and define the future, because it's them who will define the future. I do agree that we need to pay more attention to this area. Yes, some people are slacking, but we will try to work more on that, and thank you so much for speaking about that.
Thank you. Mr. Mikhalkov, you wanted to say something. Good afternoon, Mr. Putin and colleagues. That phrase is twisted. Patriotism, these are the cultural figures. Patriotism is the last resort, even for a person who is the worst among the worst. So just elaborate on what you just been saying. I want to add one thing. There is a real danger. You know, there is a cemetery in the suburbs of Paris where our greatest ancestors lie. And today there is a threat that the rent is coming to an end, expiring, and these graves can perish forever. If you remember, the Cultural Fund, your support has transferred the bodies, the remnants of Mr. Denikov and Shmyrov. It's not that we should be doing that thing only, but maybe we can create a society, whatever you call it, to make it possible to make these graves stay. Budin and other names should remain there, because if that thing perishes, then this will be part of the destruction laid to the patriotism of our country. We will do that for sure. We need to do that for sure. The daughter of Denikin came to Moscow many years ago, and she gave me his saber, and she went back to Paris and died just a couple of days after that. For me, that was a very memorable moment. People, even the immigrants who left Russia living the whole life abroad, never lost the ties with their homeland. Of course, here we're speaking about the most eminent figures of our past who did a lot for our country. The memory should not be lost. We should do all we can to have that memory stay forever. Bakiria wanted to also share his opinion on that. Mr. Punin, well, the range of questions we're discussing today is astonishing. Everything has been discussed in detail. Just I regret that presidents have been elected so rarely. Maybe every year we could discuss it. Sorry, just don't hold any grudge, but in some countries, in the United States, they have every half a year a new procedure to elect people to the Congress and Senate. They have elections all the time. Literally. That's good, that's bad. The pros and cons are there.
Yeah.
And the reason is that
нужно, чтобы после всех избирательных кампаний
наступал какой-то election campaign, there should be some pause, some time. Lull time when the government, the authorities which have been elected could deliver on their promises, could implement their program, then present the results to the nation, saying, we managed to do that, these things are still pending, and next time, if you elect us again, we will deliver on every last promise. That's important in terms of the political structure of the society. It's not just that we can hold elections every year or every whatever time. We should have a regular election for the regional structures and bodies, federal authorities, but it would not be advantageous and good for the country if we have elections all the time, because people would be worried about elections, not about the well-being of the country. I have a very good comment, I think, because the center where I'm working, these things are happening every year. I mean, we elect new head of the divisions. So this meeting will come to an end. After that, we'll start meeting the voters across the country. And if possible, I'd like to hear what are the top priorities. I cannot speak for every field of our society or science or anything, but what are your priorities for the upcoming 6 years? Can you formulate them in brief, please?
Well,
just take your seat, please. Please be seated. I ask you, kindly, because it's going to be a very long answer, probably. I'll give you just an outlook on what you asked, and then I'll give some details on every part of it. To my mind, we all, not only me, as the current incumbent president or as a candidate, we all share the same ultimate goal. Everyone here, every people, every person, we have one ultimate task, one supreme task. We should understand what is the state in which our country in, economy, our political, social life. We should understand
какое место мы в этой связи занимаем в сегодняшнем
мире.
Мы должны четко понимать
основные приоритеты мирового развития, тренды.
Что будет делать ту или иную страну
would be making this or that country
great, not only in terms of some,
but in terms of the quality of life, of development of that country, that society, that nation. When understanding all these things, we would be pushing forward the implementation of our ultimate goal to have such a rapid rush forward in terms of growth and give such a dynamics to our work so that after these 6 years,
even if there would be some problems,
malfunctioning in the mechanism of the country, that
that
inertia would be so strong that Russia would be going forward anyway. That's the ultimate task for me. But to achieve it, we need to overcome every obstacle on the way. We should sweep it off the path. We clinch to the things we think dear and important, but they are irrelevant on that way. So the path towards that goal should be clear. We should understand that without modern healthcare, education, infrastructure,
up-to-date
science and technological potential, without robotics, without gene researchers, we will not be able to survive, to remain as we are today. That understanding should be shared by every citizen of Russia. We all do our small things without thinking about what is happening around.
But
that thought, that idea should be shared by everyone in order to survive, to live further on. To ensure a good future for the upcoming generations, we need to solve that task. And that is why we need to devote our work to that one goal. Across the tracks I've mentioned, healthcare, education, science, high-tech, infrastructure, these things are of importance. They are needed for that robust growth. So that's the task. The one and single task I see. As for details you need to speak with the voters, it's up to you. You will do it, and you can do that without any problem, I'm sure. I'd like to wish all of us good, fair, transparent and direct election campaign and a very frank dialogue with the people of Russia. I rely on your support and help. Thank you.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.